Hello, good people, and welcome to episode 12 of the Brunswick Beer Collective. And this is our last episode of this season. But don't worry, we'll be back in November, I think. November?
Something like that, yeah.
November sounds right.
We'll make it up, and that'll be, I guess, our summer season. Which will be nice, because, you know, summer.
Well, there's no guarantee it will be summer-like at the time.
No, it will kind of seem like summer, but who knows what it will be.
Well, contrast yesterday with today.
That's right. I'm going to put money on it. It'll still be fucking cold.
Yeah, I think Jeff's on something. And I should say, so we are the Brunswick Beer Collective. I'm Chris Shorten. With me is Jeffrey Chee.
G'day.
Paul Christoph.
Hello.
And our somewhat regular guest, Ben Wilson.
Good evening.
We also invited other people who were also regular guests during this season, but they either were flying back from Perth, which we thought was rude, or ill, which we thought was equally rude. So if you guys are listening to that,
Shame on you.
But so, we should move on. Now, we were just talking about the seasons before, and, you know, the seasons are really, really important. In Melbourne, it is genuinely four seasons in one day, but it's also four seasons in one year. And so, I thought the first thing we'd start with is just a little bit of, you know, we've all just, I feel like we can say that winter is now over. I feel like we're on the other side of it here. What would we say, you know, were the highlights in terms of beer? How did we survive this winter?
I think for me, I mean, the Dart Beer Fest in July at this venue is always a good one. I think, you know, I think in terms of just the sort of quality and interestingness, that's a shitty word, but I'm going to use it anyway, interestingness of the beer, you know, that the lineup is always awesome, and this year it was 2 weeks, so there were, like, you know, 40 beers,
it was a very long two weeks,
most of which were over 10%. So, but I think wisely this year we didn't try to do an entire tap list, an entire tap challenge in one night. I remember we did that last year, and we finished on the Jumping the Shark, and we all know we don't need to go back through what happens when you jump the shark. Or when you drink the Jumping the Shark, but you jump the shark. So I think for me, that's
you do not turn into Fonzie. Let's
you do not turn into Fonzie.
Way.
So I think for me, like, I think the Dark Beer Fest now has delivered again, and you know, that definitely helped to get through the winter. I think for me, the most surprising thing was that I managed to find my unicorn. When I was in Auckland before Vivana, I found the grapefruit Sculpin, and that was like the most exciting thing that had happened to me all year. Like, I've been looking for this beer. For 2 years. It's been at least 2 years I've been looking for this beer, high and low, and I did not expect to find it at the tip of the North Island of New Zealand. I was...
Though the big question is, did that beer survive all the way back to Melbourne?
I drank it there. I drank it there, and it was very nice, and I enjoyed it very much. And I've never seen it again, obviously. Mm. But yeah, I think that for me was sort of not where I expected to find that beer.
And now you have a new unicorn.
Now I have a new unicorn, which is the Nutella Alesmith Speedway Stout.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, that I suspect is going to be a tougher challenge than the aforementioned Grapefruit Sculpin.
So look, if anyone from someone like Purvis or Slow Beer are listening.
Or Alesmith, perhaps.
Yes. If anyone would like to either send us one or get one in for us, we'll happily pay for it. Or Jeff will. Paul, what were yours?
Well, it's going to maybe sound like a bit of a cop-out saying an event, but just going over to Wellington. I mean, every winter, the third winter in a row now, that it's something that I really look forward to, and it didn't disappoint this year. You know, the group was bigger than ever, obviously, it was our first Beervana ever. Yeah, and it was just the Wellington craft beer scene, just, you know, that whole, so many great little pubs all in one little area, and it's just, you know, just a really great place to be for a weekend.
It was pretty damn cool.
Yeah, and there was the Barley's breakfast out that we had there as well on the beer front. That's, I gave that a 4.5, which is
very rare.
Is my highest rated beer.
Certainly of this winter.
Of this winter, yeah. Not the
double-barrel-aged
Coxswain's Courage.
We always bring up the goddamn Coxswain's Courage.
But yeah, I mean, I really loved that beer. So, planning to definitely hit up their brewery in Oregon next May. Hopefully I'll be in that part of the world. And
But, and steal whatever you can find.
Steal whatever I can
find. I mean, purchase. Definitely yes. Purchase.
Purchase. But, well, nothing's a steal with the way the Australian dollar is turned.
What about you, Ben?
I suppose it's on the same sort of line as Paul. Getting out of Melbourne to survive it is usually the best strategy, I believe.
All right, what about in Melbourne? Paul's already used that cop out.
I suppose the amount of places that have sort of been opening up, offering, you know, extended beer selections, and, you know, over the last year, we just noticed heaps and heaps of more places that, you know, have amazing craft beer, going on. So yeah, just going to check out all those. And obviously the best way to survive winter is to be inside drinking. So
look, I think the English did that, taught us well. That more better
yeah,
than anyone
to something yeah. The whole pubs yeah. thing.
Well, I think,
but the thing is, they invented pubs because their homes were so terrible. Like, that's the reason why pubs were invented, because actually being at home was depressing and terrible and damaging to your health.
I've been to some awful English pubs. Clearly the homes must have been
I think bad. So. Yeah.
But, okay, so my... All right, so the way... I guess the thing that... Or the highlight that lingers from my winter is maybe Stone's Ruin 10.
That was high on my list.
It was just... You know, I had it twice. Once I didn't realise it was coming, thanks to you, Ben. And the other time, you know, intentional. And both times, you know, it just makes me happy whenever I think about it. I mean, for the 2015 winter, that may well be the defining beer. But turning that around the other way, the surprise for me was, you know, everyone knows my obsessive love of red ales. And one of those discoveries was, I'm still really impressed with the Boat Rocker Suburban Red. It's simple, mm-hmm. It's basic, but it just really works. I was just really blown away by it. And if, you know, if I can have that as like my last beer going out of the 2015 winter into the glorious spring, I think that's a good place to be.
Yeah, nice.
Yes, very good.
So that's how we survived our winter.
That is.
So now we should move on to something, you know, more beer venture related.
And, we should.
And Jeff and I can start this one off, because we were kind of lucky in... We were invited to go on, let's say, Ben's Brew Tours.
Brew Tours, that's right. Just this last Saturday. Mm-hmm. So so he runs two tours. We went on the Northern Stars, mm-hmm. which starts at Little Creatures Brew Hall at 11 a.m, so you're not drinking there yet. Then goes to Hawker's Brewery, which is up in Reservoir.
Mm-hmm.
Terminus Hotel in Fitzroy North / Clifton Hill for lunch.
Mm-hmm.
Three Ravens in Thornbury, then Moondog in Richmond, and then to Foresters Hall to finish off. The thing I found interesting is because I think that the four of us have actually spoken about the fact that we would like to do this brewery tour ourselves, basically. Mm. Like, you know, we're sitting there just going like, oh, it'd be really cool to tour all the Northern craft breweries. But they're a pain in the ass. Like, they're too far apart. It's too hard to get from A to B. Mm. And now Ben has solved this problem for us.
Not the Ben at this table, I should
imagine. A different Ben. This
BB toured.
That's right.
Go back to your baking, Ben. And look, I think one of the things that I took away from it, because obviously, I mean, we can get it to the breweries, but one of the things I took away from it was, so I think it's widely documented that I find brewery tours boring. That I've been on the Guinness tour, I've been on several ones in the UK, and they usually involve a lot of me picking up a handful of hops, and then hearing about the hops for the next half an hour, and then hearing about some sort of, you know, tank, and then not getting to actually drink anything for another 2 hours. All of this stuff doesn't appeal to me, but I think the thing that changed that, what felt right about the weekend's tour was the fact that, you know, for a start, the moment you walked in the door of any of the breweries, you were given something to taste.
Mm.
And beer solves all problems. I think we've all learnt that.
And I think all the brewers have kind of assumed that we had heard from previous breweries about the brewing process. So they just went, oh, you don't need to hear about that. And we all just thought, we don't. No. That works out well.
And so you had very much a... it was almost like a Three Bears fable going on, where, you know, we started out with Hawkers, and Hawkers was brand new, it was shiny, it was industrial, and they were industrious.
And it was precision, like they are, you know, they've set up their operation to have just the most efficient, least waste, even if it's a bit more expensive to run it that way. Like, it's really all about, you know, how can we sort of optimize our process and deliver the same product to the consumer every single time.
But, and that was, it was just super impressive.
It was.
But then, you know, you had the middle bed, or the middle bear, or whichever you want to say, which was Three Ravens. And Three Ravens was, you know, it was a little more homegrown. It was a, you know, but it's harder to get to. I know it's probably just as hard to get to as
I'd say so. Hawkers. Yeah.
But it had its own sort of uniqueness to it. And it's, you know, it's it. They do all the mash brewing as well. And it was just... Look, I was impressed by that place as well.
Yeah, and then you had Moondog, and they're just, you know...
Chaos. Like,
they're chaos. They're just a bunch of cowboys. I mean, lovable cowboys. We love their beer. Mm. Like, this is not meant to be derogatory at all, but it's just by comparison.
No, no.
You know, they're basically just flying by the seat of their pants, you know, doing
exactly.
stuff. And you know, that's got its charm as well. So it was very interesting to see three very different breweries as well. Like, I think Ben chose them really well on that basis also.
And, you know, it just, it was nice in that the breweries actually, it seemed like that they wanted us to be, they were happy for us to be there. Which, because that's the other thing where that, you know, you sort of, it's a Saturday, you know that people are just, you know, They've got families, they've got whatever.
They'd rather be drinking.
Yeah. And the brewers were just awesome. They were like, yeah, sure, come on in, sure, this. Oh, we'll sneak that one over for you. And it's like, you know, they really gave a shit about stuff. Mm. And it's just, it was nice. It was really nice.
But I think my key takeaway actually from the whole thing was one of the last things, or maybe it was the first things that Marzen from Hawker's Brewery said to us. He made the following point, which is that, you know, if you think about it, Budweiser are, from a technical perspective, they are the best brewery on the planet, right? They produce the same beer, it tastes exactly the same amount of way you drink it every time, right? You may not like the way it tastes, but it's not like they've accidentally made a shitty tasting beer, right? They're deliberately making it taste that way, and they make it taste that way every single time. That's actually a very difficult thing to do, and, you know, If they wanted to make an amazing double IPA or something with the appropriate recipe, they could do that. They could smash it, but they choose not to because they're making squillions of dollars with this thing, which is absolutely, you know, that's their prerogative. But I've never thought about it before, actually, in that way, which I just found really interesting.
And that's what, I guess that's what made the man's philosophy so damn convincing. It had a very worldliness to it, I suppose, that... You don't expect from like this sort of scene.
Yeah, because a lot of the craft breweries, you know, you have a beer 1 year, and then the next year you'll have it again, different batch, and it just tastes totally different.
Yeah, yeah.
They're
right.
Selling it as the same beer.
So. The first one was an accident.
Yeah, that's exactly.
As was the second one.
Different accidents, you know. But that was our beer venture, and it was a very, very good beer venture.
Yeah, it was. Excellent.
I mean, I was exhausted by the end of the day, and we were talking about earlier how pretty much I got home at about 9 o'clock and passed out on the couch.
Well, I was exhausted at the start of the day. I pretty much got into the van at the start of the day and passed out. So, you know, it's I kind of improved from there.
We both had our own bite.
Yeah, that's right.
Alrighty, Ben, you were, where were you?
I was in Sydney last weekend, so I was lucky enough to have a long weekend up in Sydney for the weekend, and
we should point out you're from Sydney.
From Sydney back home.
We're not holding it against you.
Yeah, not this time. So up there for a couple of birthdays, and while I was up there, I was hoping to influence the venues that we'll go into for said birthdays, which I was lucky enough to on the Wednesday. So we had a couple in mind, but luckily enough, one of the places that my parents wanted to go to was closed. So I suggested a place in Balmain called the Welcome Hotel, which I visited probably 6 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And noticed they had some craft beers, probably five or six at the time. And managed to get them back there this time, and they do amazing food as well. So that's
a surprise.
Yeah, exactly. And it wasn't hard to sell. But
well played, sir.
Yeah, very surprised to go back there, and this time they had 15 taps of craft beer. So
that's really good. Massive expansion.
Yeah, exactly. And like sort of on a back street in Balmain, you wouldn't even know it was there.
Mm.
And I was talking to my friends going in Sydney, going, "Oh, I went to this place called, you know, the Welcome Hotel," expecting them to know it. I was like, "Never heard of it? Nope, never heard of it." But so it's really good to see. They had all the taps were pretty much, well, I'd say 90% were from New South Wales. Mm-hmm. They had Nomad, Four Pines, What else? You know, Murray's. Yeah, it's a really, really good selection. So definitely recommend that if anyone is up in Sydney town anytime soon.
For any of our Sydney listeners, head on down there, put yourself on Instagram, let us know. We want to hear about your stories. Because Ben just pretty much took over our Instagram with that stuff.
Yeah. Anytime. And then the most exciting part for me was going to Modus out in Mona Vale.
The great Modus Operandi.
Yeah, that's it.
All right, I need to ask this before everyone else says. Did they have the red IPA?
Former tenant on tap, so.
Oh, look, I would glass you right now if it wasn't socially unacceptable. So,
and yeah, but I left. I also bought a growler of it to take to my sister's place to share with my brother-in-law. I kind of half knew that he didn't like craft beer, so I was like, hey, this could work out well. So I ended up just having the whole growler of former tenant to myself that night. but yeah, I was really lucky that weekend. They had one of the food trucks in Sydney, a Mexican one, did a kitchen takeover for the weekend. So perfect timing. I was feeling a little bit green from the night before, so hit up some tacos.
Nothing solves a problem like a food truck. Oh, and the best part is, no matter where your greenness is, there's always a food truck close by.
Definitely. So, no, amazing place. Really good setup in the venue. They've got all their obviously stock standard beers, but ones that we had before, like the Total Eclipse here, the Barrel Aged Stout, Imperial Stout, obviously the former tenant, and they had a collaboration as well, the Rye Ale that they've done with Bridge Road, which was pretty amazing as well. Mm. So, yeah, definitely a very successful venture up to Sydney.
Yeah,
loved it.
Nicely done.
I'm going to glass you off air, right?
Yes.
I thought we weren't allowed to speak of glassings on...
Look, there are exceptions, Jeff. And Modus Operandi's Red IPA is one of those.
Oh, it is amazing. And I did like send you photos every half an hour of it just to rub it in.
Anyway, Paul, can you tell us about something that isn't Modus Operandi's Red IPA?
Isn't Modus Operandi's Red IPA? Yes, I can. So... the place I work for, they've recently moved into a new office, which is convenient. So I was very disappointed when we were moving offices and they were no longer going to be near the Cherry Tree Hotel.
Which is an awesome place. Which, we've talked about that often.
It's always nice to get some good craft beers. But thankfully, the new office is very close to True Brew. So it's south the river. No, then, close to True Brew. Yes. And I went down there with a couple of work colleagues and... yeah, they've got an amazing selection of beers on tap. Had a few of those. We're loving what we're having down there. But interestingly, not on the taps, but I was looking at the bottles. They've got a little section with some bottles and cans. And I saw a beer that, apart from the names of the hops, everything else is completely in Russian.
Okay.
Russian craft beer. I mean, I know you can get Baltica, but that's not really craft beer.
That was it not just a little bit disappointing that even the hops weren't in Russian?
Yeah.
Yeah. Feel a bit let down. Sorry,
well,
go on.
Probably were on there in Russian as well.
Good point.
Yeah. Anyway, so the guy that owns it, Anton, he is Russian.
Mm.
He lives in Melbourne now, but he goes back every now and then. And yeah, on his most recent stint over to the motherland, he... brought back as much Russian craft beer as he could.
I was
unaware of this.
How did we not know about this?
Yeah, unfortunately, but this is sort of at the end of the supply here.
Damn it!
But we got this. So it was a double IPA, which was it used the. Let me bring it up on Untapped. It had the Amarillo hops and another hop called the HBC462.
I have no idea what that is.
That sounds like some sort of trippy synthetic. Yeah. Potentially carcinogenic hop.
Yeah,
that sounds like a science experiment.
Yeah, I reckon that just took 5 years off your life there. Mm-hmm. But, you know,
worth it. I thought it was something that the Essendon football got.
Well, added 5 years. Added five. I've heard that as Putin's preferred hop of choice.
Mm.
Yeah. But anyway, Selden's Brewery. Turns out they're very small. They're from a town called Tula in Russia. And their beers are actually quite hard to find in Russia as well. They're very... much a microbrewery, so very, very unexpected, and yeah, it was delicious.
Well done, Mr. Christoph.
We'll have to be keeping an eye on Anton's tweets in the future to see when the next supply of Russian beers comes in.
I'm always curious about the whole Russian thing, and I guess we should finish up in a second, but because when I was in Russia, we found the most amazing vodka I've ever had in my entire life. But I discovered when I tried to get it anywhere else, you actually had to pay like this giant duty to actually export anything from Russia mm-hmm. to the rest of the world. And so I pretty much gave up after trying every website I could. So I'm just so stoked that someone's worked out a way to get alcohol out of Russia.
Yeah, in a suitcase.
I would like to think at the very least it was a crate.
A crate, probably.
And we're back and we're on to beer number one. And I'm always worried when people come back from the bar and that they bring me a beer in a wine glass. What is this, guys?
Well, there's a reason why it's in a wine glass. And it's because it's 10.6%, so it's quite punchy.
That's a bit low for us.
It is a bit low, but you know, nonetheless, responsible service alcohol and all that sort of thing. I mean, you can buy it in a pot. I think it's more actually that as a pot, it would cost $21, and in a wine glass, it costs $11. So I guess they figured we need to kind of step down the measurements.
That's a problem.
The 2015 release of the Cloud Stout, Russian Imperial Stout by Now Brewing, is what we're drinking. And I remember kicking off a session. It was a Sunday session, as all good sessions are.
Unexpected session?
It must have been the 2013 release of this beer, and I thought that, you know, having an 11% beer to start the day would be a really good idea.
That's a smart way to do it, you know, start from the top.
It's the way, go hard or go home, I believe, is the...
That's right, and we went hard, and we all know, like, it was one of those few times where I started hard and kept going until 1 in the morning, and I was not well that Monday morning, not well.
Good times.
Good times, good memories, this beer.
All right, should we actually sip this?
Come on. Let's do it, sure.
I quite like that. I really do quite like that. I mean, I feel like anything that's anything that comes in a wine glass, it sort of already walks in with a gravitas to it.
Yeah, it's true. Demands.
It demands your attention and your respect. So, all right, what are our initial thoughts here, guys?
I quite like this. I mean, you know, I think that there's only so much smoothness you can expect out of it, given that it is a 2015. I think this will be amazing if you sell it at for a year or two and drank it in 2016, 2017. This will be awesome. But even as a 2015, it's not as abrasive and boozy as a lot of 2015 or current year Imperial Stouts tend to be.
It's a good take. I like it. Guys?
Actually, I agree. Just what Jeff said. Yeah, definitely getting the really roasted flavours coming through this one as well. I'm assuming it's a barrel aged as well. It sort of tastes.
It doesn't say, does it?
No, yeah, it's sort of getting some flavours of.
I'm trying to figure out what the smell is.
Dumb or something? I'm not sure.
Beer.
It's definitely coming through.
it's got a very beer smell to it.
It's got a strong scent of beer.
No, it's something.
Right. It smells of nails and clout.
Alright, what are other people saying about this thing?
Here's one for you. 2015 this time. Still doesn't give me the boner that the 2012 did, but still a great beer.
Wait. Say that again, please.
2015 this time still doesn't give me the boner that the 2012 did, but still a great beer.
2012 must have been one hell of a beer.
Yes.
Luke F, who I think is drinking it near where it's brewed, at the Bessendien Hotel.
Bessendien,
because that's where the brewery is. Thank you. I give my girlfriend shit all the time for not being able to pronounce place names in Melbourne, so I deserve that. We bought too many of them and ended up leaving four glasses half full. Some dudes used them as ashtrays. #excess.
Expensive ashtray.
Yeah.
Expensive ashtray.
Yeah.
Rum and raisin, rich, slick, and boozy. Yum. By Paolo S. at the Alehouse Project about a week or so ago.
Good old Paolo's.
A really nice clean stout. Cherry sweet and lingering bitterness. This beer is still young. And probably will get more exciting with age. So,
yeah, that's a lot more.
Yeah.
Well, Jeff.
is on the money there.
Paul?
What have we got? We've got Ed H at the Y Hotel Hyde Park. He said, getting red 9 notes in this one, rounded off with chocolate.
Yeah, he must have bought a bottle of that from the Oak Barrel and taken it back there to drink. You know what the Y Hotel at Hyde Park is, Ben? It's like that dodgy hotel Hyde Park. Yeah. They ain't selling this beer in the bar. There, so let's be clear.
Definitely not.
Yeah, Tony A at the Royal Albert Hotel.
Tony Abbott.
Tony Abbott, yes.
Wow.
Nothing else to do now. No, so
right. Now that he's unemployed, it's just like, I just drink the cloud stuff all day.
I used to be Prime Minister.
Yeah, he's saying something about Malcolm Turnbull and a whole lot of expletives I'm not willing to repeat. this is really drinking well on tap. Rich, balanced, and smooth in both taste and mouthfeel. Tastes like it's been aged already. Okay. It's a bit different than what we thought, but... Mick B at the Royal Albert, Breakfast of Champs. Well, I wish he could timestamp that.
Yeah, that's right.
I hope it was breakfast. All right, one more from each of you, and then we should move on.
All right, so, well, this has clearly been on at the Royal Albert, and this guy is taking photos of pints of it, it looks like. So,
oh.
I don't know. Anyway.
The James last photo he ever took.
That's right, James H. It could just be a close-up. Roasted head that doesn't hang around, strong alcohol taste, making... me feel all warm and fuzzy, thin but full of flavour. I don't feel it's thin.
No.
It's certainly full of flavour.
I do think there's a little bit of thinness to it.
But it's not an uber viscous, thick Russian Imperial Stout. No. So
I like what Glenn at the Royal Albert Hotel is saying. Pre-dinner clout. Maybe I should have had this after.
Yes, you may be right. You may live to regret that.
Got Luke T, who's said... roast, chocolate, coffee, etc., but with a bit of sweetness, and it reminds me of the Evil Twin Soft DK.
Has anyone ever had that?
Yes, I have had the Soft DK.
But I can't remember.
The Soft DK was definitely smoother than this, but then again, we were probably drinking a different vintage, so I think it'll only be comparable when we've waited a bit. But
alrighty, well,
I know what that flavour is as well.
Yeah, I looked it up on Rapier. It doesn't tell us. We're going to need to go to the...
It tastes to me... It's like a... When you just get a standard, like, Lipton, like, black tea bag, and you take it out of the cup, and you drain it, and then you've just got the tea bag left that's had the water soaked out of it. That's the flavour.
That's extremely specific.
Yeah, that is very, very,
I know
very
that's not
specific.
What the flavour literally is, but that describes the flavour that I'm tasting.
Fair enough.
All right, what do we give us out of 5, then?
And it's an easy 4.
3.75-ing it, and I have no doubt that it'll go up to a 4 with some more aging.
4.25. Ooh. I'm going 4. Nice.
All right, 4 it is then.
Good work, team. And we are on to beer number 2, and beer number 2 is... Well, I had to go up to the bar and get it, and... I know for a fact that Scotty got it out of the fridge after a little while, and then he needed to get a knife to get the lid off.
Another wax-sealed beer. Fantastic.
That is the second, I think, week in a row that he's had to use a knife to open one of our beers.
I feel like we're kind of persecuting Scotty now.
I'm pretty sure we're just doing it on purpose.
Yeah. I mean, Jeff, you chose it, so I assume you randomly chose beers that... not randomly
Jeff
at all.
Jeff doesn't do anything at random.
That's true. That's right.
So... What did you not randomly choose this?
So this is the Imperial Smoked Porter by Blackman's Brewery. Now this is a limited release. They only 150 bottles were made.
I think that's right. Yeah.
I think Alex has 149 of them.
So it's an Imperial version of their Smoked Porter, and we definitely tried the Smoked Porter. We tried the Smoked Porter at the gala, the Good Beer Week gala, because Blackman's were there. It was the Arthur, because they all had.
Oh, I remember the Arthur.
Things.
Yes.
Yeah.
So strangely, I never remember people's names, but I seem to remember beer names when they're named after people.
Yeah.
It's weird.
It is interesting, isn't it? Yeah. It's interesting.
What does it all mean?
So it's 9%, and it is smoked, and it's porter, which pretty much summarizes what it should be, at least anyway. So let's find out.
All right, let's take a sip, people.
Really smoky.
Yes.
Yep, that's going to be smokier than these.
Yeah. Paul's just tapping to the box of cigars he has on the table, because he always brings a box of cigars.
That's interesting, because I don't find it smoky at all.
Really?
Unless I'm drinking the wrong beer.
But I'm pretty
sure we got rid of the correct beer.
Is this like your chili conundrum, where that you don't really taste chili anymore because you're so damn...
Maybe, but I don't drink a whole lot of smoked beer. I do drink a reasonable amount of whiskey, though. I don't know if that is doing it.
With all the American barbecue.
Yeah, all the American barbecue. Yeah, that's right. That's right. I just I don't feel smoke or chili, basically. You know, so yeah.
I don't know what to make of that. It makes you sound like a really bad bad Marvel superhero.
Yeah, yeah.
I cannot feel pain. I cannot taste smoke.
Even left-handed, be jealous.
All right. Initial impressions.
Smoky. Yeah, definitely smoky.
Mm.
Interestingly, it doesn't smell overly smoky.
No, that's true.
Yeah, so you're like, oh yeah, it's not too smoky. They drink it out, pow.
Mm.
Yeah, it's the comical Batman style pow next to my
while we're sticking on
there. I definitely don't get the smoke off the smell. For some reason I don't get off. I mean, I really like it, don't get me wrong, but I just don't get the smoke off the palate. It's quite interesting.
Well, I think what I'm finding interesting is a lot of time when we have the smoked beers, the first thing that comes to my mind is like, ooh, bacon.
The double box sort of end,
bacon sort of taste, whereas this just tastes smoky without the bacon, which is unusual for...
That's a really good point.
A lot of the smoked beers that you're asking about trends of this winter. I think smoked beers that have a definite bacon flavour is one of them.
I wholeheartedly agree.
Yeah.
Gosh, it's a late entrance.
Yeah, particularly the rash beer style
bacon.
Yeah, absolutely.
So.
Mm. Who doesn't like bacon, really?
But this does not have that. And it's not a bad thing, it just doesn't have it.
Mm. Mm. But although what's strange, and I suppose the smoked pow does seem quite overwhelming in a lot of senses, except for Jeff, obviously. But if you told me, you're telling me it's a porter, so I assume it's a porter. But the smoke flavour kind of masks that entire thing, where it could be a black ale, and you'd still go, okay, it's a smoked black ale.
Because to me that tastes like a porter. Yeah, it's quite interesting. It's like my sense of taste has just cut through the smoke completely to the porter on the other side.
Thank you, Super Beer Man.
That's right. That's right.
It's like a state of zen. There is no porter.
That's right.
Alrighty, what are other people saying about this? Ben?
Smoky.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying it's not smoky. Like, I'm quite happy to concede that I'm wrong here.
Delicious. Smoothly smoky. ABV skillfully disguised.
What is the ABV?
9% on this one.
See, I would have not picked this for a 9.
This is interesting. So Brad B said, smells of chemicals, too much bacon flavour.
Well, maybe we've had too much bacon and we're desensitised to it now.
Followed immediately by SH at Blackman's Brewery, delicious coffee licorice and smoked woody malts. I think that's probably closer.
Yeah, that's closer to the mark there.
Yeah.
Mark's saying not too heavily smoked, so he's on... Jeff, not getting that smoking.
Untapped is now taking note of my recent beers, because it is recommended by style, the Rye Porter Smoked Edition by Sullivan's Brewery.
Okay.
I'll add that to the wish list.
I've never heard of that in my life.
Yeah, that's the Russian. That's the Russian brewery.
Oh, no way.
So that's definitely not a coincidence.
No.
There you go.
Untapped is listening to us.
Look, Untapped is listening to something, but if Untapped are ever listening to this podcast, I would be stoked.
Not smoked.
No, definitely not smoked.
Definitely not smoked.
What are people saying this?
All right, give me a few more people.
Justin C. Nice hints of smoke without being like drinking a barbecue.
Interesting. It's very...
People are getting very different things off this beer.
Adrian T. Smoked fish in a good way. I do not taste the fish. If you're listening, Adrian, sorry for laughing at you, but seriously, dude.
All right, Jeff, give me one more, please.
Oh, sorry, my Untapped crashed, so I'm currently just... But I'm. Right. I think I've got it back. Here we go. Dave at the Junction Beer Hall. It's there, but not enough of it. Not enough what?
Smoke, I assume.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, well, this we need to define it here.
Go. This has been enlightening, this beer.
Sorry, go.
No, I was going to say, it's just been a very divisive.
It really has.
Yeah.
I think people have...
Everybody likes it.
Everyone's liked it.
Everybody's getting something different from different smoke levels from it.
It's just it's really interesting.
All right, what are we going to give this?
It's straight 4 from me. I like it.
I concur. I concur with a 4, despite the fact that I don't get the smoke at all. I do. I like the flavors, so well done, Blackman's Brewing.
And the 3.75 for me.
3.75? I actually agree, but mostly because I'm not a big fan of smoked.
So sudden death.
Have
we had this? No, what happens?
No.
What do we do?
We have to flip a coin. We have had this before. Flip the coin, didn't we?
We did too.
Yeah.
We did too.
I have no coin now because...
Ben mystically pulls a coin out of somewhere.
All right.
I should pull a rabbit.
Heads
out
for
out
4,
my
tails for 3.75.
Yeah,
all right.
Let's do it.
Make it happen, Ben.
Tails, 3.75.
3.75. Really sorry, guys.
Black means you can blame it on the 50 cent.
Yeah.
Well, actually, no, I can blame it on the two of you.
blame it on Scott Morrison, the new treasurer.
I blame it on Scott Morrison. I mean, he needs to be blamed for something.
He does.
Alrighty, so this has been a very long episode, but because it's the end of the season, don't worry, we'll be back. But the end of the season, so we need to do a few thank yous. Firstly, I want to thank all of our guests, obviously Ben right here.
Thanks for having me on.
I want to thank Bowser from 7 Cent, who couldn't make it tonight but wanted to. I want to thank Annabelle, who couldn't make it, but mostly because she's very, very ill, apparently. Or at least based on the messages she's been sending us all day. And we want to thank the good people, Birvana, for putting us up and just letting us find a corner of their stadium to record this. What was that? That was episode 5, I think.
It was a few episodes,
yeah.
Right?
It feels like a nightmare ago, obviously. Birvana, plug. Alright, I obviously want to thank the people who made that He-Man clip.
Yes.
Doing 4 non-blondes, what's going on? If you haven't tracked it down, we highly recommend you track it down.
Alex Gardino deserves a thanks as well. He you know, Destination Unknown got a bit of
airplay
as well.
I'd like to thank Left Hand.
Yeah.
For being the most underrated superhero of all time.
No, he wasn't a superhero. He's a villain.
But he's a conflicted villain.
Yeah.
He's got such an in-depth backstory. Thank you, Left Hand. We love you.
Look, we want to thank everyone for putting up with us. We also want to thank Ben's Brew Tours for inviting us last weekend, which was kind of a big deal for all of us, and we're sorry we took so long to get there. And
thank God as well.
Look, if he's listening, which I hope he is, we always handle him in on Twitter. And obviously, one of the big supporters here is Alex at the Owl House. And the whole crew at the Owl House who end up putting up with us week after week, month after month.
Yeah. It's like, turn up the music, turn down the
Scotty
music,
for making
that room.
Making sure all our beers are perfectly poured.
Exactly.
So photo ready.
That look, well, we can't thank everyone enough, but I feel like we have done that. This has been season 2. We'll be back for season 3 in November.
It'll be warm. We'll be drinking IPAs.
I'm looking forward to all of these things, because, well, mostly the warmth part. And
don't let Marzen from Hawkers hear you say that, though.
I know that.
We'll talk about it next season.
So, as per usual, I've been Chris Shorten. With me has been Jeffrey Chi.
Thanks. See you. Catch you guys in a month and a bit.
With me has been Paul Christoph.
Enjoy your October, people.
And finally, with me has been Ben Wilson.
Good night.
You've been great, people. Thank you.